Beautiful song. Thank you, ladies. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. Before you stand, just want to tell you to just be in prayer for our pastors. He's traveling, taking some days off. He's doing well, though. He's going to be with a new grandbaby, so I'm sure he's going to have a good time. And so, but pray for them as they're away. Thankful for the opportunity to get to preach. And so you got a substitute preacher today. I don't know about you, but our substitute teachers, we didn't treat them very well. So I expect y'all to treat the substitute preacher a little bit better today than I treated my substitute teachers. So, but we're looking forward to it. I believe God has something for us this morning. And so we're going to get into the Word. If you'll stand with me, Luke chapter number 5, we're going to read the first 11 verses. And I get to preach, so I'm going to preach on one of my favorite subjects, fishing. Fishing. Can I get an amen right there? Luke chapter number 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's just exciting. So we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning with the title, Launching Out into the Deep. And I think this is a good place for us to be right at the end of the year as we look forward to 2025 and what God has for us in the next year. I believe God wants each one of us to build a deeper, more meaningful relationship with him. And I hope this message will be a help to you today for that. So let's pray, and we'll get into it. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. God, I pray that you'd use the message. God, I pray that you'd use your word and that you'd speak through it today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Pardon if I have to cough a little here and there, but there's a whole bunch of y'all doing the same thing, so I don't feel so bad today. Sometimes when I get sick, it kind of messes with my vision a little bit too. So I'm looking up here and there's lights shining and who knows, I might just pass out. So just pick me back up and set me back up here and we'll finish, okay? I developed a love for fishing at a very young age. From the time I could walk and from the time I could really remember, my dad had a fishing pole in my hand, and I have a lot of exciting stories from when I was young, catching all kinds of fish and growing up in East Texas. And sorry, that's West. East Texas, there we go. That's better. My wife wouldn't know. She wouldn't have known. Sometimes we'd fish through the night. I remember my dad taking us to one of the lakes, and we would go and we'd fish through the night or really late into the night, and we were fishing for catfish. And we'd get out on the pier, and this was, I remember this pier, it was rickety. It had like boards missing, so there's holes in the pier. And I remember one night in particular, them reeling in a pretty good-sized catfish and getting it up on the pier, and it starts flouncing around, and it made its way all the way into one of those holes, and we lost it. And it was like, you know, those are moments that you just have a hard time retelling because, you know, it makes you want to cry a little bit losing those. We caught all kinds of fish. Alligator gar, how many of you caught some of those before? Yeah, with teeth on them. Grinnell or bowfin. You know, they look like a regular fish. I was there several years back, and I caught one of those, and I forgot what they were, and I almost stuck my finger in its mouth, and I'm like, oh, wait, I should probably, that one might have teeth, and sure enough, it has razor-sharp teeth inside it. So thankful I still have thumbs, and it's a blessing. But now I get to take my kids fishing. Love that. They get to experience, you know, all of the wonderful smells and the luxurious atmosphere of fishing. It's so awesome. But they've also developed a pretty good love of fishing, so I love that part of it. You know, fishing's great when you're catching fish. When you're catching fish, time flies. You don't even notice that you have third-degree burns from the sun. You're just out there fishing. You're having a good time. However, when you're not catching fish, it's pretty miserable. Especially if you've fished all night and you've tried and you're just ready to get some rest. And you feel every muscle in your body. You don't even want to wrap up your gear properly. You're just like throwing it in the whatever. Just throw it in the truck. Let's just get out of here. It's a little frustrating. You know what's more frustrating is when you're walking back to the truck and the guy comes out and he asks you, did you catch anything? And you're like, you know, there should be a code book for men. Like, if a guy catches a fish and he's walking towards you, you're going to know it, okay? He's going to be like holding it up and he's going to be like, hey, yeah, did you see this one? That's the way it's going to be. But, you know, he says, did you catch anything? And you know, everybody on the lake's going to know if you caught something, okay? They're going to hear you hooping and hollering and everything else, so there's no sense in ever asking that question, okay? And then what's worse than that is when you get back to the truck or the guys are gathered around and you're telling them about your hard time, you didn't catch anything, and then they begin to tell you everything that you did wrong and what you should do to catch fish. You just leave like defeated. You're like, I'm never going fishing again. And then the next weekend, you're like, hey, we should go fishing. So on the Sea of Galilee about 2,000 years ago, there were some frustrated fishermen on the shore. And a carpenter comes by, not another fisherman, a carpenter comes by to give them some advice. And I believe that as Jesus comes by, and he says this to Peter, launch out into the deep. You know, Peter, obviously, he's forthcoming with what he's thinking. So he's going to tell Jesus what he thinks about it. But in his mind, he's thinking, a carpenter's telling me how to fish. I've been doing this my whole life. Probably felt some of those same feelings as you're walking to the truck and you don't have anything and everybody's trying to tell you what to do. But this was different. This command was coming from God himself in the flesh. This was Jesus Christ. And I think there's some things that we can notice in this passage that'll really help us as we move into a new year, as you move into the next phase of life, to understand what we can do to have a successful Christian life. Number one, Jesus has a simple request. The first three verses are a simple request. Jesus often starts like that. It's the simple things. Look at verse number one. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So back up just a little bit. We need to understand this isn't just Jesus showing up out of the blue. Peter knows who this is. He knows what's going on. He knows the reputation of Jesus. But there's a simple request that's there. So the fame of Jesus has gone out. After Jesus' birth, this is what was said of his young years. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's what was said of Jesus as he was growing up, that he was growing, that he was learning, that he was growing in wisdom and stature and favor. Then he begins to perform miracles. He teaches in the synagogues. He gets baptized by John the Baptist at this extraordinary event in chapter number 3, verse number 21, where it says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven and which said, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.'" You know, so there were lots of people at this event, and this thing happens, and it really confirms that this is the Son of God. You've got the Holy Trinity showing up at this event. The fame of Jesus is going abroad. People knew that there was something about this man. Jesus spends 40 days being tempted of Satan, and he returns to Galilee. And in chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about." That fame of Jesus is being spread abroad all over the area. They were bringing the sick. They were bringing the possessed and lame, the blind and the deaf to Jesus to be healed. They were listening to his teaching. That brings us to chapter 5 and verse number 1. As Jesus is meeting all these people and he's performing miracle after miracle and the fame is going abroad, he encounters this man named Peter. And in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God." The people were literally so close to Jesus that when he would talk, nobody could hear him. So he needed to create some distance between himself and the people so that they could hear what he had to say. So Jesus, he knows all things. He has a simple request. The request of Jesus. Jesus needed that distance in order to be able to communicate. So he enters into Simon's ship and he asks him to thrust out a little from the shore. Seems that this wasn't a problem at all. After all, Jesus healed his mother-in-law, and whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, I'll leave that up to you. no, it's a good thing, trust me. And he had healed so many. So this wasn't something that I don't even think that Peter thought twice about this. I think that this is probably what he thought. He probably thought, well, this is the least that I can do. Certainly, I can do this simple thing that you've asked me to do, Lord. Maybe you're here today because somebody invited you. You were driving by, you felt the need to attend, or maybe you've been looking for a good church to attend. And I'm going to tell you something. Attending church is a good thing, amen? Being in God's house is a good thing. It's a simple request given in the Word of God so that people can hear the Word of God. It's really the least that we can do. And when God asks us the simple request, no matter how busy, how tired, or how inconvenient it may seem, we should be at church when the congregation gathers around the Word of God. It's a very simple request. But I have a question for you. Are you having a hard time with the little things that God asks of you? The simple things. I got to tell you, sometimes it's the little things that get me. It's the daily disciplines that get me. It's the making sure that I'm doing the little things that God asks me. A lot of times we want to do the bigger things. We plan it out. We map it out. And we want to do all these big things for the Lord. But so many times it comes to those little things. What do you do in your private time in prayer? Are you spending time in the Word of God? Are you coming to church and doing the simple things? As Brother Keith said this morning, what about the simple thing of just giving to the Lord? All the simple things. You know, we look out and we have visions of what our life, what we want our life to be, what we want it to be like when we stand before God Almighty. But so many times we forget to do the little things that God asks of us. And I got to tell you this, before we get to the bigger thing that God asks of Peter, we're going to have to go through the little thing right here where he says, I need to use you. I need you to answer this simple request. It doesn't take a whole lot of faith. It just takes a little bit of effort. And that's what Peter chose to do. He chose to say, Lord, it's the least that I can do. I'm going to do it. And he does that. He simply thrusts out his ship so that Jesus can speak the word of God to these people. There's a story of a young man who wanted to serve in a great ministry, and he eagerly approached his pastor and said, I want to do something big for God. What can I do? And the pastor handed him a broom and told him to start sweeping the church floors. The young man hesitated, and he said, I wanted to do something important, he said. And the pastor replied, faithfulness in the little things prepares you for the big things. If you won't serve God with a broom, how can you serve him with anything greater? That's really the philosophy that our pastor teaches to us as a staff. That if we're going to ever do anything great for God, first we have to humble ourselves and be willing to serve and do the little things that nobody sees in the moments that nobody's going to give you accolades for, but just to do those things that are simple, the simple requests. The daily discipline of obedience to the Lord's requests will open up a world of blessing in your life that you can't experience any other way. And I got to tell you, if we could get the simple things down, then we get to move into the second point here, number two, a special request. Look at verse number 4 and 5. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You know what? When Peter was faithful to help Jesus with a simple request, it led to a special request. Peter, I want you to now launch out into the deep and let down your net. Simple request. It didn't take much faith. It didn't take much courage, and it really didn't cost him that much. But now the carpenter from Nazareth is instructing the professional fisherman on how to catch fish. Peter gives two reasons that they shouldn't be going into the deep. Peter answers him back, and he's obviously going to tell him, this doesn't make any sense, Lord. He tells him that they've toiled all night. They've labored. Their bodies are tired. You're asking a lot for me to take my men back out after night, after the night that we've had, the discouragement that we've had. They had taken nothing. In the normal places where the fish were, there was nothing. Everyone knew that the best opportunity to catch fish in the Sea of Galilee was to fish at night in the shallows. We've tried all of our best methods. The fish just aren't there. Then Peter decides to do something that goes beyond human reasoning and comprehension. He decided to take his first step of faith, and these words are the words that Peter uttered. Nevertheless, at thy word I will. You know what? There's so many things that God wants to do, and we interrupt so many times what God wants to do with our reasoning and our rationale. God gave us a mind to think. He wants us to use our mind and to think. But when God gives us a command and he gives us a special request, a special calling, something to do, we may need to say to the Lord, I don't understand all this. These are the pros and these are the cons, Lord. But I know you've told me this. And say to the Lord, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. I look at all these young people over here and I think of the potential that God has for them to become great in witnessing for the Lord and reaching the world for the lost. And there's going to be lots of people that come along the way. And they're going to tell you that you need to do this, and you need to follow this career, and you need to have this life, and you need to do this to be happy. But you know what you need to do is get into the Word of God. And if His Word, if your life doesn't line up with His Word, you need to say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. And just follow after the Lord. Do what He asks of you. When He has a special request of you and He wants you to do something, listen to Him. Listen, God can see far more than we can see. We can't see past this moment. We don't know what's coming, but He does, and He can. In 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr., this is JFK's son, piloted his small airplane from New York City to Massachusetts for a family wedding. Accompanying him were his wife, Carolyn, and his sister. And although Kennedy was a licensed pilot, he lacked certification for instrument-only navigation. Despite the delayed evening departure and limited visibility over open water, he chose to proceed. Tragically, the plane crashed, resulting in all three passengers' deaths. Investigators concluded that disorientation from flying at night without visual references likely led Kennedy to trust his perception, listen, to trust his perceptions over his instruments. This incident underscores the peril of relying solely on human judgment instead of established guidance. Similarly, Peter, despite his professional fishing expertise, chose to trust Jesus' command to launch out into the deep, exemplifying faith in divine direction over personal experience. I got to tell you something. I pictured this. I pictured him flying this plane, and his instruments are buzzing. The things are saying, no, 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 you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing this. And the whole time, John F. Kennedy Jr. is saying, no, no, no. I know better. I know better. I know better. All the way until the plane crashed and they lost their lives. What are you going to do when God asks a request of you? Are you going to say, no, God, I've got this. I'm going to go in this direction. And there's warnings that are there. You're going in the wrong direction. I have something different for you. I have something special for you. I have a life that you need to live and that is going to make you something for me. And your life is going to count for eternity, not for this just this moment. And there's warning signs all around you. And you're just saying, no, no, I'm not going to listen. I think I know better. I think my perception is better. I think following after money is better. I think following after fame is better. I think following after the things that are in this world is better. And the whole time God is saying, listen, follow my word. Follow my word. How often do we argue with God when He asks something special of us? God, I'm going to church and I'm doing those things, but what you've asked of me this time is too much. It's too much. And we argue with God and we begin to say all the reasons why. How often do we think that we know better than God? And we would never say that, but our actions prove that we think we know better than God. Maybe we would never say it like that, but our lack of taking meaningful steps of faith prove that we aren't really willing to take on the special requests that God sends our way. May not be comfortable. We may not understand everything. But if you'll choose to take that step of faith, as Peter did, say to the Lord, nevertheless, at thy word I will. There's going to be some amazing things that happen. What are some of the things that the Lord has been asking of you that you just haven't been willing to launch out into yet? He's telling you, I want you to serve here. I want you to join the choir. I want you to help in this ministry. I want you to follow up with these people. I want you to witness to your coworkers. I want you to do this. I will be with you. I will help you. Trust me. Trust the instruments that God gave you. Trust His Holy Spirit that's inside of you. And He's going to be with you. But so many times, I just don't know, Lord. It's time to witness. It's time to serve. It's time to give. And I'll say this. If you'll choose to launch out as we enter into 2025, then this time next year, you're going to be able to look back and you're going to be able to see God blessing you here when you stepped out on faith, and blessing you here when you stepped out on faith, and blessing you here. There's a lot of people, even in our college class, they're trying to figure things out. Where do you want me, Lord? What pursuit should I have? And you know what? God is going to be there, and he's going to guide you, and he's going to direct you, and it's going to be uncomfortable sometimes. But if you will just take those steps of faith as God leads you, we can look back and we can see miracles that God does along the way. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, is what he says. Number three, a stunning result. A stunning result. I'll not read it again, but Peter lets down the net. They begin to pull the net back into the ship. Their nets begin to break, and there are countless fish pouring in, and they now have filled one entire ship. They yell for the partnership to come over that was in the area for assistance. They filled that ship to capacity, and they still have fish pouring in. They began filling the first ship more and more until it began to sink, and the same thing happened to the second ship. And both ships carefully make their way back to the shore. Peter immediately, while they're experiencing this mighty work of God, comes to Jesus, falls on his face, and says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." You see, when you get to see God work in incredible ways and do incredible things, you can't help but just fall on your face before the Lord and say, "God, why are you even using me? Like, God, you can do so much. God, you are so holy. You are so powerful." And when you get to see God work in those ways, you can't help but just fall on your face and worship God Almighty. Jesus places a call on Peter's life that day. It says, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." You know what? God has placed a call on your life. He wants you to accomplish something great for him. He wants you to follow after him. He wants you to listen to those requests that he asks of you. He wants you to do those daily disciplines. He wants you to follow after him. Peter, James, and John forsook everything and followed Jesus. And this simple step of faith took Peter farther than he could have ever imagined that it would take him. You know, God is asking you of something, and you know he's tugging on your heart. He's wanting you to do something. And you've been saying no to him. But the moment that you step in by faith and you say yes to God's special request in your life, he's going to take you further than you could have ever imagined. Listen to this quote by A.W. Tozer. "God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things we can do by ourselves." Is that what you've been doing? Is that what you've been doing, is just trying to figure it out on your own? Well, you're only going to take yourself as far as you can get yourself. But God can take you far, far, far beyond anything that you could ever imagine. And he can do great things. I'm just looking at Brother Tim Spradling, thinking about when he was running junior church and they had just hundreds of kids all over this place back in the day. And God did that through Brother Tim. I look around at many that have served in this ministry over the years, and God has done some incredible things. This church is not here with all these people by accident. There were people that served in years and years. And you know, 2025 is coming. And we're going to look back at this segment of time when you're here at Bethany Baptist Church, and we're going to think, well, what did God do then? He can do great things. We just have to be willing to step in by faith and listen to him. 2025 is not a year for us to step back from the ministries and the things that God is calling us to do. 2025 is a year that we need to launch out into the deep with God and do some great things with God. Maybe you're here today and you've never even taken that first step of faith. You don't even know if something were to happen to you today and you were to lose your life. You don't even know if you would go to heaven or you would go to hell. You don't have that peace in your heart. Can I share just a little portion of my testimony that may help you? I was raised in church, and my parents are here, so I have to behave. Okay? Thankful my parents got to come in from the holidays. I was raised in church. I'm thankful for it. My parents, we were there every time the doors were open. Sometimes when the doors were closed, we were there. You know, we were just there all the time. But I was lost. There was just too much that the world had to offer that I was interested in, chasing money, things, experiences, whatever. When I was 16 years old, a great tragedy hit my family as my older brother took his own life right before Christmas. So this time of the year is kind of tough for us a little bit in the Wood family. And I struggled. You know, it's hard enough being a teenager, right? Like all these teenagers, you're already going through it. And the Lord allows something like that in your life, and you're like, wow. It really starts making you think about your life. Think about what's going on. Think about, hey, this is real. Life and death is real. Good and evil are real. So that happened right before Christmas, and I struggled with just depression, anxiety, fear, doubt, all of it in the next year, just not understanding and being lost and not having a relationship with God to help you through something like that. And I knew that the Lord was calling me to take a step of faith, and my parents, they just kept making me go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. And then we'd have a revival meeting, and our revival meetings lasted all week long. So I was working a job like an hour away from the church, and I'm like, do I really need to go to all these meetings? It's an hour drive from work and all the fuel and everything, and it wasn't even an option. I didn't even ask the question because I knew the answer that I was going to be at every night of the revival. So I went to the revival meeting. I remember we had a missionary. Tom Lancaster was there preaching. I can't remember what he preached on. I don't really know. But what I do know is that God was pounding on my heart, saying, you're lost. And if you continue down the road that you're going, disregarding all the instruments and warning lights that are there, your life's going to crash. That Tuesday night, I believe, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Amen. That single step of faith took me from eternal punishment for my sin, to eternal life in heaven. Amen. That step of faith led to other steps of faith. And now I get the great privilege of serving at Bethany Baptist Church for the last 11 years, and I'm thankful for it. Listen, if you're lost like I was, confused, don't know what you should do, today, Jesus Christ is calling you to launch out into the deep and accept him as your Savior. Launch out. Take the step of faith with him. Maybe he's calling you today. You're saved, but he's calling you to serve more. He's calling you to get out of the shallows that you've been in too long. It's time to humble ourselves before God. It's time to set aside our human reasoning. It's time to heed Christ's command. It's time to prepare for a miracle. When God blesses your faith, listen. When God blesses your faith, you see the boat here and the fish. Will you choose faith? Or will you choose the fish? Because God's blessings come. You know, they rain on the just and the unjust. We don't deserve any of them. But God's going to bless your steps of faith along the way. But are you going to be content with a boat full of fish? Or are you going to say, no, you know what? I'm forsaking all of this, and I'm just going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. I guarantee you, young people, God is calling some of you into ministry to be a pastor, to be a preacher, to be a missionary. And you have yet to accept that call in your life because you're just not willing to take that step of faith. You've seen God's blessings. And you up to this point, you're choosing the fish. But God wants you to say, you know what? I'm going to forsake all, and I'm going to follow you. And you know what? If you'll do that, the sky's the limit. There is no limit to what God can do in your life. If you're lost today, don't leave this place without getting it settled today. He wants to save your soul. He wants to change your life. He wants to give you new direction. He wants to give you guidance. He wants to give you peace that you've been searching for your entire life, and you have yet to find it. It can be found at the feet of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed.